from the volcanic sulfur carried from a volcano a few miles toward the sea. Uchichil had wandered to the river, keeping in the lee of the huge boulders that dotted the valley. Soon it would be done, he thought. He could take the buggies of the Americans and their new weapons, and perhaps learn from them the location of the secret city of power, where such things resided. And then there would be no stopping the Narodniki, the new rulers of this land. Later, Uchichil moved away from his band and stood where the slope began to steepen. Four members of his band slept there, including Bochka, Krisa, and Smeya, whose skinny frame was almost smothered by the porcine bulk of Bjezebraznia. It was time to begin rousing them for the coming day. Ryan glanced at Christy, who lay at his side, then turned to look up the valley toward the dam. He could see JB activating the launcher, and then giving him the thumbs-up sign.
Very soon now. Get ready, people. On my mark.
Major Zemyanin wiped smears of mud from the hem of his long gray coat, then peered across the valley, squinting at the unusually bright rising sun. It was rare to see it so naked and unveiled, free from chem clouds. He clapped his hands together, trying to keep warm. It was much colder than the day before. As the officer glanced farther up the valley, he saw a pinprick of silver that trailed orange and red, fringed with ragged smoke. Some moments passed before he realized what it heralded. By then, the massive explosion had confirmed his guess. Without the usual computer guidance system, JB had been forced to fire the missile on manual sighting. Fortunately, the range was less than half a mile, so accuracy wasn't too much of a problem, and the target was some 1,000 feet long by 200 feet high. The explosion was nearly dead center between the middle towers, roughly a third of the way down from the top of the dam. To J.B. Dix, standing only a little below the level of the reservoir, the effect was spectacular. To Ryan Carter, halfway down the valley, it was stunningly powerful. To Uchichil and the rest of the Narodniki at the bottom of the valley, the sight of the explosion was totally, lethally paralyzing. A mighty column of foaming water ripped through the hole. Immediately, great cracks appeared in the main structure of the dam as the pressure began to tell. Within 10 seconds, a huge hole appeared, destroying the top walkway of the concrete structure. Hundreds of thousands of gallons of frothing, surging water roared into the valley, washing away everything before it. For a few heartbeats, Ryan thought they'd miscalculated. The reservoir emptied faster than they'd figured it would, and the flood swept by only 40 feet below where they hid. The noise was deafening, like the roaring of 1,000 enraged animals. At his side, Christy held her hands over her ears. But he needn't have worried. The gorillas' camp vanished. All but half a dozen of the Narodniki were buried under the avalanche of water, mangled and pulped by the stones that the dam burst carried with it. The corpses bobbed and danced across the plain, slowing as the water began to spread out. The dead were borne along for a couple of miles until the water became shallower and the carcasses snagged on rocky outcrops. The river turned sluggish and gray at its edges, finally solidifying into ice, so the corpses rested, hands and head sticking out from the hardening slush. Piechal went farthest of all. Saro, the torturer, was on his back, legs broken, hips smashed, but miraculously still living. Only his face and one hand protruded from the ice, which set around him like stone, crushing his chest, slowing his breathing. To the last, his eyes remained open and staring. Uchichil had survived. Bedraggled and freezing, the leader of the killers clung to a rock as the water tore at his legs. He'd climbed away from the tumbling wall of bubbling death, as had three other survivors. Bjezebraznia, weeping, naked below the waist from the plucking river, Zmeya, who had climbed highest of them all, wriggling to safety like a skinned eel, and Krisa the rat, his red eyes wide in shock. All the rest were gone. All the animals, provisions, guns, and ammunition swept away to destruction. Uchichil looked around, seeing that the river was already dropping fast to its original level, but the land beneath it was scoured clean.
Damnation take you! Faster, you fumbling dolts! We must get there before they can escape us!
The blowing of the dam had taken Zemyanin by surprise. Until he'd seen the silver missile sprout its fiery tail, he hadn't known that any weapon that could wreak such devastation still existed. As the smoke and spray cleared, Zemyanin made out several of his prey still alive and clinging to the sides of the valley. But he'd also seen movement on the far side, where he believed there might be more of the poverty-stricken American peasants who inhabited the region. It would be as well if he got to his countrymen first. But so early in the morning, the cavalry were slow and clumsy in saddling and mounting. He heard moans about the cold and about the lack of food, not even a hot drink for breakfast. But at last they were picking their way along the ridge of the valley, heading toward the final scene of the drama. Ryan Cawder stared unbelievingly at the chaos below him. The main torrent had abated, and the morning was so bitingly cold that the rocks on both sides of the valley were slick with ice.
Looks like JB got the ace on the line.
Finnegan hefted his gray Heckler & Koch submachine gun.
Let's go pick off the stragglers.
Watch them. They've probably got guns left.
Hen grinned and pointed at the huge Byezobraznaya.
Not that fat cow, unless she's got a hider pistol tucked between the folds of her belly.
Got room for a mortar there.
Descending with the utmost caution between the tumbled wet stones, Ryan led them to the river. Each of them was carrying a blaster, ready for action. Hennings and Finnegan with their HK-54As, Christie with a silvered H&K P7A-13 pistol, and Ryan with his caseless G-12, all covering the helpless Russians. With the water now returned to its original level, Uchichul and the three other survivors climbed warily down and were now facing Ryan across 15 paces of fast-flowing river. Slowly, Uchichul raised his hands above his head in the universal gesture of surrender. Krisa and Smeya followed. Finally, scowling, Byezobraznaya lifted her hands.
Watch him.
Ryan crossed the jumble of stones and large boulders with care. If he slipped on the ice, the water would carry him to his death. Once he was over, he beckoned for the others to follow. But he kept his eye, and the muzzle of his blaster, pointed at the captive Russians.
What are we going to do?